All right, so John Agard's checking out me history.
Yeah.
You've probably studied this one in class already, and maybe you're feeling a little bit lost,
Yeah,
honestly.
it can be pretty tricky.
Yeah, or maybe you just need a little extra help to really like get it. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
So that's what we're doing in this deep dive. We're gonna like break it down, themes, key quotes, all that good stuff to help you totally ace those exam questions.
Yeah, that's right. We're going to help you guys make those connections.
Exactly.
Really grasp what Agard is trying to do with this poem.
Okay, so right off the bat, you notice something different about this poem.
Right away. Yeah.
Agard's not using standard English.
Right.
He's using Caribbean dialect, which is a huge statement.
It is. It's not just about, creating a distinct voice.
Right.
It's about reclaiming his own language and culture. So often history is presented in this very formal, almost sterile way.
Yeah.
And by using dialect, Igard's kind of saying, like, nope, I'm going to tell my story my own way.
And that whole idea of control of like who gets to tell the story,
Yes.
that is so important in this poem.
It really is.
Think about those contrasting pronouns, dem and me.
Okay.
Dem represents like the powers that be, the ones who've always like controlled the
In the
narrative,
established powers.
while me is the individual, the one who's been marginalized or overlooked.
Exactly. And when you look closely at the historical figures that Agard chooses to put in the spotlight, you
Yeah.
start to see how he's really like deliberately challenging that traditional Eurocentric view of history.
Yeah.
So you've got those familiar figures from British history like Old King Cole
Yeah.
and Dick Whittington and He Cat.
Yeah, like the ones he would have learned in school.
Exactly the kind of history he was taught.
But then he throws in these really powerful figures from Caribbean history.
Yes.
Toussaint Louverture, Nanny, the Maroon Mary Seacole.
Such powerful figures.
And these are figures who fought for freedom, made massive contributions, but they've often been left out of the mainstream historical narratives.
They have. And it's fascinating how Agard presents them.
Yeah.
Take Mary Seacole, for instance. He calls her a healing star and a yellow sunrise. These vibrant, almost mythical images.
Wow.
He's elevating her, celebrating her strength and her resilience.
Yeah, it's such a stark contrast to how Florence Nightingale is presented.
Right.
Now, Nightingale was super important,
Well,
obviously,
absolutely.
but Agard's portrayal of her is much more neutral,
Yeah.
almost factual.
It is.
It's almost like he's deliberately highlighting Seacole's contributions and challenging the way history has often prioritized European figures.
Exactly. It's like he's saying, hey, there's another side to this story that you haven't been told. And for you as the reader, that's like a huge clue to the poem's message.
Right.
He wants you to question those versions of history you've been given and to seek out those missing voices and perspectives.
I see what you mean.
It's about broadening our understanding of history. And that's really where these powerful metaphors come in,
Yeah.
You've got that bandage covering his eyes,
Right.
blinding him to his own history,
Okay.
and then that carving, which represents that struggle to reclaim his identity.
Those metaphors are so important for understanding this poem
They really are.
because it's not just about forgetting history. You know,
Right.
it's about being actively prevented from seeing it.
Yeah, like it's being hidden from you.
That bandage is such a powerful image of how the colonial education can really distort our view of the world.
Absolutely. It's like he's saying, look, by only showing me one side of the story, you've kept me from like fully seeing myself. And then that carving, that emphasizes that reclaiming your identity, reclaiming your history, it's hard work. It's a constant process of unearthing, shaping, fighting for recognition.
Yeah, and that sense of struggle is echoed in the poem's structure too.
Yes,
Like
definitely.
the way Agard jumps back and forth between those nursery rhyme figures and these powerful Caribbean icons,
Yes.
it really reinforces the idea that these histories exist side by side, but one has been given way more
It
prominence.
has much more space.
Exactly.
It's like he's forcing those two worlds to collide on the page.
Yeah.
And by doing that, he's disrupting that traditional hierarchy of historical narratives.
You know what I mean? And for a student listening to this, that structure is really important
Oh, absolutely.
because paying attention to that can really unlock a deeper understanding of like what Agard's trying to say.
Absolutely. It's all about those choices,
Yeah.
Those deliberate choices that Agard makes to make us think differently about history and identity.
Yeah. And speaking of deliberate choices, let's talk about that repetition.
Yes.
Dem tell me. Dem tell me.
Oh, it's so powerful.
It's like a drumbeat throughout the poem, building this sense of frustration and resistance.
It is. You really feel
And
it.
that repetition is like a key.
Yes.
to understanding the speaker's emotional journey throughout this poem.
Absolutely.
It's not just about being told the wrong story, it's about the constant bombardment of it.
Yes. Like it's being hammered into him.
Yeah, and with each repetition, you can almost feel like the anger building.
You really can.
The determination. It's like he's saying, I'm not going to accept this anymore. I'm going to find my own truth.
Yes, and that brings us to the setting of the poem England.
Okay.
It's not just a neutral backdrop.
Right.
It represents the seat of colonial power, the right. place where those dominant narratives like originated.
That's it.
And, you know, Agard moved to England from Guyana.
Right.
So his own experience of migration and cultural displacement are kind of woven into the poem.
Okay, so that personal experience really adds another layer to the poem.
It does. It deepens it.
He's not just talking about history in a general sense. He's talking about his own struggle to, like, find his place.
Yeah, to belong.
In a society that's constantly trying to, like, erase his identity.
Absolutely. And, you know, that feeling of being caught between two worlds?
Yeah.
It's something so many people can relate to.
Yeah, I get that.
It's that human need to understand where we come from, who we are.
Right. And it's all about connecting the personal with the political, you know?
Yeah.
The individual experience with, like, the bigger historical forces at play.
Yeah. And I think one line that really shows that connection is, I carving out me identity.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one.
Such a powerful quote. It really highlights that, you know, the act of shaping your own sense of self, especially when you're up against these dominant narratives that are trying to define you.
Right, and it's not just something that's given to you.
No, it's not.
It's something you have to fight for to, like, create.
Exactly.
To carve out for yourself.
Just like Agard is doing with his history and his poetry.
And that act of carving is, like, challenging but also really empowering.
It is. Because it recognizes the pain of erasure, the struggle to be seen and heard.
Yeah.
But it also asserts agency and control.
Right. It's like he's saying, you're not going to define me. I'm going to define myself.
Exactly. And that kind of leads us to those powerful closing lines.
Okay.
Checking out my own history, carving out my identity.
Such a sense of defiance and hope.
It really is a culmination of the speaker's journey, a statement of self-discovery and self-affirmation.
Okay.
He's not just accepting the stories he's been told. He's actively seeking out his own truth and shaping his own narrative.
It's a call to action for all of us, I think, you know?
It is. It's not just about the past.
Right.
It's about the present and the future, you know?
Yeah.
Agard is, like, encouraging all of us to be active in shaping our own narratives and understanding the forces that have shaped us as people.
Okay, so for a student listening to this,
yeah.
What does that actually mean?
Well, it means taking those analytical skills you've learned
right.
and applying them to the real world.
Right.
Think about the stories you've been told, the people you've been taught to admire,
yeah.
whose voices are missing from those stories,
okay.
whose perspectives have been, like, pushed aside.
I see what you mean.
Asking those questions can be really empowering.
Well,
it lets you see the world differently and challenge those assumptions that we often just accept without thinking.
Right. And that's what makes this poem so relevant, I think.
Yes.
Even today.
Absolutely.
It's not just some old poem.
No.
It's a tool for, like, critical thinking and changing the world.
And remember, he does all of this with humor, too.
Yeah.
Like, think about those lines about Old King Cole,
yeah.
Dick Whittington, and he Cat.
He's playing with us a little bit.
He is. He's using satire, you know,
right.
to kind of poke fun at those traditional narratives.
Yeah, and that humor makes it more accessible.
It does. It makes it more engaging.
Like, he's inviting us along on this journey.
Yes.
To question everything.
Yeah.
With a bit of a playful but critical eye.
Exactly. And that's such a valuable lesson for any student.
Yeah.
Don't be afraid to approach your studies with a sense of curiosity and humor.
Right.
It can make learning so much more enjoyable.
For sure. So as we wrap up this deep dive into Checking Out Me History.
Yes.
This poem is about so much more than just analyzing literary techniques.
It is.
It's about understanding how powerful stories are, the importance of representation.
Yes.
And that constant struggle to define who we are.
In a world that's always trying to define us.
Exactly. Oops. And that means, you know, embracing those challenges.
Yeah.
Asking the tough questions.
Absolutely.
And using your knowledge to make the world a better place.
You have the power to carve out your own identity.
Right.
And shape your own future.
So go out there and check out your own history.
Yes.
What stories have shaped you?
Think about it.
Whose voices have inspired you?
What are you waiting to discover?